My name is Mark Rowlands. I'm a professor of philosophy at the University of Miami. I do like Camus. I think Camus is a very, very interesting philosopher. Camus had a great discussion of a Greek mythological figure called Sisyphus. Sisyphus offended the gods and was punished by being forced to roll a huge rock up a hill for all eternity. When the rock gets to the top of the hill, it rolls back down to the bottom, and Sisyphus must start all over again. So, you know, I think most people accept this is a horrible punishment. The question is, well, what does the horror of the punishment really lie? And, you know, the way the story is usually told, the immense size of the rock is emphasized, the kind of back-breaking labor required to push it step by step to the top of the hill. But imagine a kind of variation on it. Instead of a huge rock, we have just a fairly small pebble, one that Sisyphus can easily put in his pocket. And, you know, Sisyphus picks up the pebble, walks to the top of the hill. When he gets there, it falls out and rolls back down. He must start all over again. It's not clear that that punishment is much better than the original. So why is the punishment such a nasty one? Well, is it because Sisyphus doesn't like what he's doing? Well, suppose he did. Suppose the gods had decided to just sort of mess a little with Sisyphus, you know, or inject a certain chemical or whatever, some sort of foreign agent, which makes Sisyphus actually enjoy this task. Sisyphus now enjoys pushing rocks up hills. Does that make the punishment any better? It's not clear that it does. Some might even think that it makes it worse. Now Sisyphus is not only doing this sort of pointless task of pushing a rock up a hill, but he's being duped into actually enjoying it. So all these sort of considerations converge on the idea, well, what makes the god's punishment so bad is that it's sheer pointlessness. That's why it's such a nasty punishment. So imagine a sort of variation on this theme where there is a point. Sisyphus is actually building something. The rocks don't roll down the hill. He gets them to the top and he starts putting them in. And in the end, we have this magnificent building of some sort. The problem is, well, what happens when Sisyphus has finished that? What's he going to do now? So the idea is, well, the problem with purpose, right, is that, well, if purpose is what gives meaning to your life, then you better make sure you don't accomplish it, because if you have, then your life suddenly has no meaning again. I think it's a lovely way of framing the sort of issue of the meaning of life. What makes life worth the trouble? It's just sort of genuinely, I think, difficult to see what that could be. Obviously, you know, Camus intends this as an allegory for the lives of each and every one of us. You imagine each of Sisyphus's steps is like a day in our lives. And so, you know, we spend our lives doing various things which, in the great scheme of things, just cannot possibly be important. In the end, they leave no trace. There was no real point to them. Each of Sisyphus' steps is like a day in our lives. Instead of going to the bottom of the hill and starting all over again, we leave that to our children.
Mark Rowlands is a philosopher at the University of Miami. Camus ends the myth of Sisyphus with a surprising twist. Here's some of what he wrote. Sisyphus's fate belongs to him. His rock is his thing. If there is a personal fate, there is no higher destiny, or at least there is but one which he concludes is inevitable and despicable. For the rest, he knows himself to be the master of his days. This universe henceforth without a master seems to him neither sterile nor futile. Each atom of that stone, each mineral flake of that night-filled mountain, in itself forms a world. The struggle itself toward the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. One must imagine Sisyphus happy.